content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include business grows skittish about Trump GOP after mob attack, and 2021 could be a great year if businesses survive the winter. And we'll begin with businesses grow skittish about Trump and GOP after mob attack. Corporate America is quickly distancing itself from President Donald Trump and his Republican allies, with many of the biggest names in business, Goldman Sachs, Coca-Cola, Ford, Blue Cross Blue Shield, suspending political donations after a Trump-inspired mob ransacked the U.S. Capitol in a deadly and violent spree last Wednesday. For now, the move is about affirming the rule of law and the clear results of an election that will elevate Democrat Joe Biden to the presidency. But it also signals that companies are growing skittish about lawmakers who backed Trump's false claims of election fraud, possibly depriving Republicans of public backing from business groups who until recently were the heart of the GOP's political brand. "This is spreading like wildfire," said Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, a professor at Yale's University's Management School who consults with CEOs. "The business community has interest fully in alignment with the American public and not with Trump's autocratic, bigoted wing of the GOP. Yet the pausing of donations announced by many companies, including Marriott, American Express, AT&T, J.P. Morgan Chase, Dow, and others, was unlikely to deliver a serious blow to Republicans in Congress who voted to overturn Biden's win. These are symbolic pledges," said Sheila Krumholz, executive director of the Center for Responsive Politics, a nonpartisan group that traces the role of money plays in politics. "This is just one source of revenue, and for some it's vanishingly small, particularly in the Senate. Corporate-sponsored political action committees are limited to donating $5,000 per candidate each year. In races that often cost incumbents millions of dollars, such contributions account for just a small fraction of the take in the fundraising picture. Senator Josh Hawley, the Missouri Republican, has drawn widespread scorn, including from longtime supporters and Senate Republican leadership, for becoming the first senator to announce that he would oppose the certification of Biden's victory. Since 2017, when he launched his Senate bid, only about $754,000 of the $11.8 million he raised came from corporate PACs and trade groups. That accounts for about 15% of his total fundraising haul, according to an analysis of campaign finance disclosures. What's more, Hawley wasn't the biggest spender in his race. Outside conservative groups, including those affiliated with Republican leadership, were the ones who dropped the lion's share of money that helped him oust former Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill. Such groups are largely insulated from the corporate donation pause. Still, greeting card maker Hallmark went a step further than most companies. The Kansas City-based company has asked both Hawley and recently elected Kansas Senator Roger Marshall to return its contributions because of their votes opposing Biden's win. Hallmark believes the peaceful transition of power is part of the bedrock of our democratic system, and we abhor violence of any kind, Hallmark spokeswoman JoJo Shin said in a statement. A PAC for the company has donated $7,000 to Marshall, FEC records show. The company says it has also donated $5,000 to Holly. In many cases, though, companies are only suspending their giving for several months, leaving ample time to ramp up donations before the 2022 elections. Many of these PACs wouldn't be donating now anyway, Krumholz said. Even if Trump sold himself to voters as a billionaire guru with a Midas-like grip on the economy, many business leaders had already quietly backed away from a president who had cracked down on trade, inflamed racism, curtailed immigration, and failed to contain a deadly pandemic. But the rejection accelerated after he egged on a crowd at a Washington rally and urged them to march on the Capitol on Wednesday. Since then, technology companies have denied the use of services to Trump's political operation. The payment firm Stripe has stopped processing donations for Trump campaign committees, according to a person familiar with the matter who requested anonymity because of the decision hasn't been made in public. The move could cut off Trump's fundraising arm from what has been a steady stream of small-dollar donations that are often solicited through emails and text messages. Stripe's decision was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. Shopify, an e-commerce platform for merchants to sell goods, shut down the Trump campaign's merchandise web as well, as other tech companies, including Twitter, Facebook, and Amazon, are putting new restrictions on Trump's movements because of the violence. Leading business groups such as the National Association of Manufacturers, the Business Roundtable, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce all condemned the insurrection. Yet these same groups also worked in support of Trump's 2017 tax cuts and will face a Biden administration that wants to increase corporate taxes, a sign that they might not be able to break completely with Republicans and represent their members' interest. What surprised some ethics watchdogs was how quickly companies reacted by suspending their donations. It looks like it's sincere from many of the corporations, said Craig Holman, a campaign finance expert with Public Citizen, a liberal consumer advocacy organization. There was no big public push or pressure to get Marriott and others to announce that they would no longer make campaign contributions. They did it on their own, and they shocked everyone in the campaign finance community. The response has not been uniform by corporations. Dow, the chemical company, said it would suspend contributions for the next 2 years to any member of Congress who objected to the certification of the Electoral College. Airbnb said it would also withhold support to those lawmakers. Some companies are trying to avoid politics completely in the aftermath of last week's riots. Citigroup confirmed Sunday that it is pausing all federal political donations for the first 3 months of the year, including those to Democratic lawmakers. We want you to be assured that we will not support candidates who do not respect the rule of law, said a memo from Candy Wolf, Citi's head of global government affairs. She added that once the presidential transition is completed, the country can hopefully emerge from these events stronger and more united. The decision by Citigroup and others to pause all political contributions outraged some Democrats who said they were being punished for violence that originated with Republicans and left 5 people dead. This is not a time to say both sides did it, said New York's Representative Sean Maloney on MSNBC. What the hell did the Democrats do this week except stand up for the Constitution and the rule of law? Next, 2021 could be a great year if businesses survive the winter. For Ashley Ordonez, owner of the Bear Bar Studio, a spa in Denver, vaccinations for the coronavirus can't come soon enough. while she anticipates better days later this year, surviving until then will be a struggle, and she knows the next few months will be lean ones. I sold my wedding ring so we could pay the bills and keep the doors open, she said. I'm sacrificing everything to make it through this pandemic. Vinay Patel, who manages a chain of 9 hotels in Maryland and Virginia, is looking even further out for recovery. 2022 is when we'll see the real true potential of the vaccine, he said. Patel added that his biggest hope for the coming year is a measure of stability, if not prosperity. As 2021 begins, business owners big and small confront a rapidly shifting landscape. An end to the pandemic is in sight as inoculations begin, but the slow pace of vaccinations has delayed the turnaround that they were counting on. Hanging on is the chief goal for many, even as others look ahead to what they consider to be an inevitable rebound. This year is not going to be a walk through the park, but I'm optimistic, said Jimmy Etheridge, chief executive for North America at Accenture, the strategy and consulting company. The eggs are in the vaccine basket. Even as he anticipates a turnaround, Etheridge emphasized that many of the changes wrought by the pandemic, such as working remotely and a shift to cloud technology by the companies, are here to stay. 10 months of pandemic has accelerated technological change by 10 years, he said. We're never going to go back to the way things were before. In the meantime, it is clear that there will be winners and losers this year. Restaurateurs, leisure and hospitality businesses, and the travel industry will continue to struggle as a surge in COVID-19 cases prompts renewed lockdowns in many parts of the country. Few expect imminent salvation. The biggest companies, on the other hand, are positioning themselves for what could be a surge in consumption when the pandemic recedes. Technology, manufacturing, healthcare, and some other industries are booming. Indeed, the contrast was evident last week as major stock indices notched new highs, even as the Labor Department reported that the economy lost 140,000 jobs in December. It was the first decline in months, with the leisure and hospitality sector alone losing 500,000 positions as lockdowns are enacted. There is light at the end of the tunnel, said Brian Moynihan, chief executive of Bank of America. But there's a side of the economy that's still in trouble. There's a group of Americans who want to go to work but can't because work isn't open. Moynihan said he was pleased that the $900 billion pandemic relief package was passed and signed into law after many fits and starts, and he favors more stimulus if necessary. Roughly 19 million workers are collecting unemployment benefits, and the employment picture remains bleak for many lower-wage workers in the service economy. President-elect Joe Biden signaled Friday that trillions of dollars worth of fresh stimulus could be on the way, and the imminent Democratic control of the Senate makes that much more likely. As trying as the next few months seem, the economy is in better shape than in the months after COVID-19 first struck, when the unemployment soared to 14.8%. The jobless rate in December stood at 6.7%. Holiday spending by Bank of America customers was 2.5% higher than last year, and account holders actually have more in savings than they did before the pandemic. There's a bunch of sectors that are doing very well in terms of profits, Moynihan added. Even so, these remain times of limbo for many executives and business owners, when the old rules no longer apply but the post-pandemic reality has yet to materialize. The days of having a permanent budget or a permanent plan are gone for a while, said Mercedes Abramo, chief executive for North America at the luxury goods purveyor Cartier. You've got to manage through this ambiguity. Adaptation is a strategy that Ivan Kane, owner of a cafe and nightclub in Columbus, Ohio, knows by heart. To comply with social distancing requirements, he reduced the venue's capacity from 320 to 117, filling what was formerly a dance floor with tables to provide adequate space between guests. To attract customers, he bought 15 hospital-grade UV disinfectant lamps, and he recently acquired an igloo to allow guests to dine outside while protected from the elements. In the coming months, Kane hopes he will be able to break even, but he predicts that it will be a year before he is able to usher in the crowds necessary to make his business profitable. The margins are razor thin, he said. It's just about keeping the lights on. Next, woman-led Durham freelance startup gets investment. A Triangle startup that launched earlier this year as a marketplace for female freelancers has received its first injection of cash from investors as the company looks to expand the number of people using its services. Alobi, which until recently was operating under the name Momentum Marketplace, said last week that it received a $500,000 seed investment from a mix of angel investors and an investment firm. Stargazer Ventures, a firm out of Portland, Oregon, that invests in underrepresented founders, led the fundraising effort. The woman-led company runs a central marketplace that connects those looking to hire freelancers with people looking for flexible work. Alibi vets the skills of the freelancers that use its site so that business owners know they are getting a capable worker. And the platform's algorithm is designed to find the best matches for the freelancers. The site launched a beta version of its marketplace earlier this year with thousands of users. It has received a boost from the number of people looking for more work during the pandemic, especially from mothers that are having to take care of children at home. Audio editing, web development, and bookkeeping are skill sets that have been in demand on the platform this year, the company said. The company began out of its CEO, Brooke Markovicius' own experience in the workforce. Markovicius had worked at fast-paced startups for years, but when she decided to have children, she didn't feel like the places she worked were compatible with motherhood. She left to do freelance work, but realized it could be difficult connecting with small businesses that might need work. When she moved from Seattle to Durham in 2019, she began to work on Alibi to solve that problem. The focus on enabling mothers to find more flexible work got the attention of investors. There are so many intelligent women who had full-time careers in the past, Sylvia Aguirre, a local entrepreneur and Alibi investor, said in a statement. Then they had to raise children and could not be 100% in the workforce. Markovicius said that she was excited to take in the investment because of the disparities that exist in funding between male and female-funded startups. In fact, funding for female-led startups fell significantly last year, declining 27% compared to 2019, according to the venture capital tracker Crunchbase. However, it isn't just women using its platform, said Markovicius. After it rebranded from Momentum to Alibi, more men began finding the site and using it too. That's perfectly fine for Markovicius, who says she wants the site as inclusive as possible. The company plans to use the money to boost its marketing and bring on a machine learning doctoral student from NC State University. Markovicius said Alibi is working on several artificially intelligent tweaks to its algorithm that matches freelancers with small businesses. It's all about finding people a business can trust, and that is a good fit for a worker, she said. The story was produced with financial support from a coalition of partners led by Innovate Raleigh as part of an independent journalism fellowship program. The NNO maintains full editorial control of the work. Next, Wegmans sets opening date for Chapel Hill store. The date to circle is February 24th. That's when Wegmans opens its newest Triangle grocery store, this one at 1810 Fordham Road in Chapel Hill. The Chapel Hill store will be the third of the Rochester, New York-based chain store in the Triangle. A Raleigh store opened in September 2019 on Wake Forest Road, and a Cary Morrisville store opened in July 2020 at 3710 Davis Drive. The Chapel Hill store will be slightly smaller than its Raleigh and Cary sister stores, coming in at 99,000 square feet. The Raleigh and Wake Forest stores are listed as 104,000 square feet. The Chapel Hill store is still hiring part-time workers. Those interested in one of the 120 positions available, including cashiers, stockers, and culinary and fresh food workers, can attend a hiring event at the new store on Thursday, January 14th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The store asks that you apply online at jobs.wegmans.com prior to the event. Last year, Fortune ranked the supermarket chain number 3 on its list of 100 best companies to work for. Wegmans is known throughout the Northeast for its cult-like following among grocery shoppers. When the Raleigh store opened in 2019, customers lined up in the pre-dawn hours to enter, and at the time broke company records for first-day foot traffic inside the store. Wegmans is still working on their Wake Forest store, slated to open in May. No exact date has been announced. That new 104,000 square foot store is on the Route 98 bypass just east of Capitol Boulevard. Wegmans said that store has about 275 part-time openings. In total, Wegmans says it will employ 450 in Wake Forest. Applications can be made at jobs.wegmans.com/Wake Forest. Wegmans plans 2 more stores in the Triangle, another in Cary at Carytown Boulevard and Interstate 40, and one in Holly Springs at NC 55 and Ralph Stevens Road. Next, Biden sees stimulus as down payment but faces major constraints. With his presidential inauguration just a week or so away, Joe Biden is confronting an economic crisis that is utterly unparalleled and yet eerily familiar. Millions of Americans are out of work. Small businesses are struggling to survive. Hunger is rampant, and people across the country fear getting kicked out of their homes. The moment was similarly perilous exactly 12 years ago when Biden was the vice president-elect and preparing to take office. I remember the utter terror, said Cecilia Rouse, who was an economic advisor in the Obama White House and has been chosen to lead Biden's Council of Economic Advisors. The $900 billion pandemic relief plan that moderate lawmakers powered through Congress provides the incoming administration with some breathing room. The second tier of aid will deliver $600 stimulus checks, assist small businesses, and extend federal unemployment benefits through mid-March. But as Biden has already made clear, it is simply a down payment, a brief bridge to get through a dark winter and not nearly enough to restore the economy's health. More than 19 million people are still receiving some type of unemployment benefit, and many business owners wonder whether they will be able to survive the year. The coronavirus crisis has worsened longstanding inequalities, with workers at the lower end of the income spectrum, who are disproportionately Black and Hispanic, bearing the brunt of the pain. At the same time, bottlenecks in the COVID-19 vaccine's rollout, as well as fears about a much more transmissible strain of the virus, could further delay the revival of large swaths of the economy, like restaurants, travel, live entertainment, and sports. We are in for some choppy waters even as we continue to get to the other side of the pandemic, Rouse said. Yet despite the scorched earth left by the coronavirus, the economy is on a more stable footing in several ways than it was at the start of 2009. Instead of hurtling down a hole with no clear view of the bottom, Biden is taking office when the economy is on an upward trajectory. However anemic the growth, most analysts predict that 2021 will end better than it began, even if there are stumbles along the way. While this pandemic-related recession was larger in terms of initial job losses and closures, it is collateral damage from a health emergency and not a crack in the global financial system. Now, Rouse said, we know what to do. But if the Biden administration will have a bit more running room on the economy, it is likely to have a lot less politically. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the Republicans' leader in the Senate, was often intent on blocking Obama's agenda, but his party was in the minority. Biden must deal with a much more polarized Congress, which could still have McConnell. Enacted after 6 months of stalemate, the $900 billion pandemic package will help households and businesses get through the next few months. But the Biden administration will have an uphill slog, persuading lawmakers to approve more aid when this round ends. Biden will face resistance from some Republicans who put aside their concerns about the debt when it came to cutting taxes in 2017, but who have rediscovered their inner deficit hawk. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.